Q's in a pod. We're talking about games. You don't know any of us, but listen.
Mean this. We have to introduce ourselves.
Yes.
So I'm Tom Quackenbush, fantasy author.
I'm Amber Hawk, artist, farmer. Do you see how I forgot my name there?
No. Do you want to do another take?
No, well, it's okay. If it's too hard, you can just be like, I'm his wife.
I have no personality of my own.
She's basically a non-player character.
Would you like to buy something, sir?
You can't see it, but I put a bin over her head. Now I can steal everything I want.
That's how that works. And I'm Daniel. I'm an artist, sort of. And I have metal teeth, and that suffices. The joke would be that's all my personality depends on is my
metal
weird
teeth.
Feature. Yes. Future realism gone
and
wrong.
If you're writing a book or something that's based in the future, don't you have to just give it some like faraway date and not like give it 1984?
Well, it depends on the nature. Like, you can still read 1984, and now we just consider it like an alternate history. Whereas, like, Star Trek, you know, like the original series, I think right now we should be having First Contact or pretty soon. Like World War III should have happened. And
supposedly, astronomers say, or astrobiologists say, that within 20 to 30 years, we should have alien contact. Now everyone's like, the Greys will speak to the Pleiadians, but they mean... They mean that as far as they can tell, they will actually find a microbe in space.
Yeah. Well, they did That'd just find cool. evidence of organic molecules in, like, a proto-star system. And that was, like, one of the things we needed to see to prove, you know.
the possibility of life.
That it doesn't require Sky Daddy to wave his magic wand.
Sky Daddy could wave his magic wand on a different solar system, too, Daniel.
Well, yeah, but ones that haven't formed yet. You know, it just shows we don't need him. And anyways, the blind watchmaker theory still makes God an irrelevant concept. It's no different than saying it happened the way that we think it happened.
If you say so, Daniel. Evidence.
I do have to say, going back to the topic, I do have to say that around, you know, 2012, we had movies that are like, this is what's going to happen in 2012. I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm going to say that it's not. I'm going to hazard a guess that's not going to
happen.
There
are so many books and things, and like all of it's completely nonsense at this point, I think.
Can you even sell a book now about like the Mayan apocalypse of 2012?
I don't know.
You could, because religious people have like very heavy amounts of oh, what's the name for that thing when you invest in something too much and then can't give up on it?
True.
Sunk cost fallacy.
Yes. So, you know, because that guy that caused that huge stir the last time where, you know, he convinced people to sell off shares and stocks and all of that and then was wrong and then was like, no, wait, it's next week.
Right. I got my math wrong.
Yeah. And then, oh, no, it was a quiet rapture was, I believe, his
just a couple people, and they didn't make a fuss when they disappeared.
Yes,
and
but everybody who sold their house and all of their stocks was still fucked, and you could definitely get away with that again. I mean, it's not hard.
There's a story I read that these two sociologists infiltrated a cult that had apocalyptic intentions, and I think it was a UFO cult, and you know they sat there like the world was supposed to end on this night. And they sat there quietly observing. And, you know, as midnight came, they're like, what's going to happen? Are these people just going to flip out? And they're like, they have to lose their faith, right? You know, here's the moment of reckoning. And they're like, clearly the apocalypse is going to happen. We have to stick by the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep this going. Wow. You know, maybe something got wrong, but the world is still ending.
Right.
Yeah. No, it just didn't end at this moment.
Okay, so maybe Jesus said he was coming back like next week and it's been 2,000 years, but come on, guys. let's keep waiting. Because, yeah, no, he was originally all like, I'm coming back like soon.
Yeah, within the 100 years.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was supposed to like...
The second coming should have already happened. Though to the Jews, the first coming hasn't happened.
that's true.
Jesus was just a nice Jewish boy. He got carried away.
Yeah.
Well, you got on wood.
I'm curious what, like, the Egyptians thought the future would be. Like, what ancient cultures would think the future would be?
I'm pretty sure they thought that it would be exactly like it was in their time, because their empire was supposed to be eternal. Mm. You know, similar to Rome. I think Rome had the same thought. Yeah. Although they weren't wrong.
But didn't other cultures have, like, sci-fi?
That depends on your definition.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay. Science would have needed to exist first. True. But no, like, I mean, fantasy and future fantasy has always been a thing, but even now, it's still mostly, like, it's sort of like how things are now, but cars fly, or, or you know, bubbles make food out of the air. So, I mean,
a lot of things are about food just being created out of nothing.
Yeah.
Yes, Back to the Future 2, that I still want that tiny microwave. tiny pizza into a full-size pizza.
That'd be so cool.
The rehydrator, yes.
Replicators are where it's at, man. Star Trek. Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Yeah, we did talk about replicators. I still feel like we need them. But I want to stick to Back to the Future 2 just for a minute, because it is 2015 when we're recording this.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And I grant, we are not getting hoverboards. I don't really care. Flying cars would be nice.
No, we are getting hoverboards. We're
getting crappy hoverboards.
They're limited.
They're hovering. They're making hoverboards just to prove their concept of for warehouses.
Yeah, and maglev.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That is far more useful.
Hoverboards?
Hoverboards don't work on water. No, that's way more useful. There's an earthquake. Right. My building didn't collapse. That's fantastic. However, I believe that Nike is making those stupid shoes that Marty put on.
Yeah, man, talk about too late, because there's going to be like 60 people that will buy those and use them. And then,
that's about it.
You know, a bunch of really cynical assholes on eBay trying to get their money back. And
that is
probably
true.
Never making it.
I will say probably the early 90s. I found Marty McFly's hat, the lenticular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found that. I'm like, that's so cool.
Oh, yes.
But even then, even at like 11 or 12, I went, I would never wear that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep.
What about the double ties? Huh? The adults wore like weird double ties.
So like a Texas bow tie, except.
With real tie.
Yeah.
For the most part, I think at least Chappie understands that things aren't going to be that different. Yeah, you might have cool robots that fight. We're not getting that next year. But everything else is pretty much the same.
Yeah,
Except worse. Yeah.
Or worse.
Like, things have changed a fair amount with some technologies, though. Well, like, in the book I just read, which is A Tale of Time City by Diane Wayne Jones, which is based, like, the city is kind of... it goes reverse through time. But anyways... they have book cubes. There were still a couple real books, which I like that touch, because obviously we're going to pretty much always have real books. But who would have book cubes everywhere? Wouldn't you just have an e-reader?
Or like one book cube that could be all books, I'm guessing.
True.
An e-reader?
Yes.
But like, you know,
you
basically from the
cube.
Sound of it, it was a lot of, you know, little thumb drives around maybe. But there was other cool things that were like, would be like impossible or impractical to have now.
Like?
There's this thing called a pen function. Each person has these cool belts that you press little buttons on them and they do things.
I am, of course, in my head picturing a fanny pack. But...
basically, it seems like a utility belt. Like, I can't imagine they were fashionable.
which is why... okay.
But there's a pen function that you turn it on and then you can write. Just like...
yeah,
it's
not
like a thing. A physical thing. Just anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe there's special paper?
Now, none of that so far is, like, unreal. They've been working on haptics or haptic feedback without, like, a physical input. So they're doing things with sound waves where you can actually, like, touch an object that feels physical.
Oh, weird.
But it's just composed of sound waves.
Which, thinking about it, force fields and things, that you could probably make them out of sound waves.
Actually, yes. Very recently, the defense contractor patented a blast deflection system that is
cool.
Short, sharp sound waves.
Yeah.
Have you seen the blinding gun they just came out with? They just patented it. It blinds you for 15 minutes. You can blind an entire crowd. It, of course, looks like a sci-fi bazooka.
Oh, of course. And I'm sure it will never be used on peaceful protesters, because that's just silly.
That seems ridiculously dangerous.
Yep.
If anyone's driving anywhere.
Yeah, but if you need to stop a crowd of angry savages, it comes in handy.
But then you have a mass of angry blind savages.
Right. So then,
like,
you,
that's
then
not
you
that
in.
Much better.
Well, no, because that's when you send in the drones with the pepper spray, which is a real thing that exists now.
Yeah.
But what would pepper spray do if you're blind?
It doesn't. It doesn't remove your eyes. It's this isn't oh god, I can't. This isn't a burner from Dune that, like.
No, I know, but having
it blinds and
the
hurts
worst
you.
Part about it doesn't hurt that much.
Pepper spray?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you know.
I've been hit by pepper spray. It hit me straight in the eye, though. Like my damage was actually it hurt my eyeball.
Right, but it is like one of the better, because with a crowd, when you're trying to disperse a crowd, the first thing you need to do is remind each of the individuals that they're individuals, as opposed to acting as a group, and causing simultaneously dispersed pain is one of the easier ways to do that. Because then they're just worried about their own safety and not part
other
of
people.
The group. That they were.
But still, at least with the blind thing, then you just have an angry blind mob.
Mm-hmm.
That might punch anything, including each other.
But they're more likely to panic. And you know, again, if you're trying to disperse a crowd or control them before you send in your riot police.
And what if they have mirrors? Wouldn't that just blind whoever's shooting the gun back?
That is a fair point. Like, all of these things, because they also have, you know, they have long-distance microwave guns that can make you shit yourself or cause uncomfortable, you know, surface temperatures. And they've, you know, protesters have found ways to block those and redirect them.
Good.
Because, you know, that's what people do.
Yeah.
One movie that I feel has done an unfortunately good job of predicting is, of course, the classic RoboCop. Because, I mean, aside from the RoboCop aspect,
right,
Detroit is suffering right now.
True.
And we're seeing police randomly killing people and pretty much getting away with it.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're finally starting to piece together numbers, and it's like 5,000-something people since 2002, I think.
Wow.
Some insane amount. Well, all of the sort of dystopian, you know, Blade Runner-esque futures are the ones that seem to be winning out, unfortunately.
Doesn't suck. But we still don't have a food-o-matic. I want a food-o-matic.
But we do have servant robots. We live in a world where I can complain that the robot ate my shoelace. Mm-hmm. And I mean that.
True.
Because he's right over there.
He's broken, though.
But that our robot is broken, Amber. We live in the future.
He's not broken. He's just damaged. With therapy and...
Maybe he'll learn to go forward again.
We can have a robo cockfight, like an AI.
Have I seen this movie?
You really kind of shouldn't.
Do they just attach dildos to robots?
Which was exactly what I was thinking also. I was about to ask if there are, like, regulations.
Oh,
like,
no,
like,
I guess you mean, like, cockfighting, but with robots.
Yes.
Yes.
I get it now.
They human...
So, Big Hero 6.
Yes.
Okay.
Except it is sentient robots.
Oh.
So all these discarded robots are rounded up because humanity is really angry at androids for some reason. I don't know why, so they just round them up in the forest, which is where androids go when they're discarded.
The forest?
The forest! And then they make them fight to the destruction.
So even in this future world, the forest is where you put the scary things that you
well,
don't
they're,
like. Which we, is... It all just goes in the forest.
We follow a character named David, who is played by Haley Joel Osment before he got really weird looking. And he is an android. Also, he's playing an android in this movie. Sorry, Haley Joel Osment. I mean you the best.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. He's a good guy.
We don't know this
He goes
person.
To NYU. And so there's a code where first you get your animatronic child, who looks like a real child. I can't swim too well, which kind of plays a part in this. And he's like, thank you, mother. I appreciate that. But if you want him to have real emotions, if you want him to really love you, you touch the back of his neck, and then you say a string of random words. And when you say that, he genuinely loves you. Or, as I taught an AI class years ago, he pretends he loves you because that's his programming. And at which point, she's like, oh, I have a perfect son. Wait, my real son's back? You fixed him? Oh. We're going to drive you out into the woods. Get out of the car, David. You wait right here for mommy. And then she leaves him.
Wait, so she got the robot because her son was
Her son had
sick?
Yes, had some sort of sickness, so they put him in, like, cryostasis.
Okay, so why can't she have two sons?
Because she only has so much love to give, and that's technically an appliance.
Yeah.
I'd keep it around.
Well, I mean, she does for a little while.
I'd be like, wait, one of these poops and the other one doesn't?
Yeah.
I think the issue is that the human boy, being a human boy, is something of a dick. And so he tries to harass David the robot and next to a pool. So David the robot grabs the boy and brings him underwater while he's like, oh God, oh God, oh God. Thus almost drowning the boy.
Oh, I see.
So she's like, well, you made a mistake, so you have to, even though you cannot die, I'm going to abandon you. Then the movie gets really bad. It really stupid. Way stupider. It was like a Kubrick, Spielberg joint.
Oh, one of those things where like maybe one of them got sick and tired of doing it halfway through. And
I think
then
Kubrick died is the issue.
Yeah.
And then Spielberg picked it up.
There was another movie that happened to also that also had the same thing of like it was a really interesting premise and then got like edited to shit.
Yeah, I think it was more that it got added to shit. Yeah. I would say it's about five different movies. But the first one about, you know, humanity's inhumanity to fake humanity is really kind of pertinent. You know, I enjoy that. Oh, that's interesting. And then he hooks up with a sex droid played by Jude Law. And then they go and try to find the personification of Google, played by Robin Williams, the wizard, if you will.
Why would Robin do that? He already starred in a movie about artificial intelligence that was really good.
You would think.
But if one was really good, why not do another?
Did you say it was really good?
Millennium Man?
Yeah, a Bicentennial Man. Yeah,
Bicentennial
yeah.
Man. I remember really enjoying it at the time. I'm sure it's dated.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It has feels.
If I remember, one of the big issues is that your loved ones will die because they are made of meat, whereas you will not die because we can replace your malfunctioning parts.
True.
Well, that was like one of the plots is like, because he, after he becomes sentient and is recognized as sentient, like he basically always has second citizen or second class status.
Mm-hmm.
So he's continually trying to, you know, change himself to be able to be considered human or to have the same rights and standards as human. And he does that by... He ultimately ends up giving himself like a meat body that decays to try to fulfill this status, because that's like at one of the last trials that he goes to, that's when the judge says is like, you're essentially immortal and we can't accept you. And so he's like, well, all right, I guess I have to make it so I can die now. And
that's pretty dumb.
It's actually, but it is actually a good movie. Maybe
I would watch it.
Maybe
it sounds cute.
That reminds me of another classic of modern cinema. I speak, of course, of Short Circuit 2, where at the end,
sir,
Johnny Five gets gold-plated and he becomes a citizen of the United States of America.
I forgot about the gold plating.
Well, color's important if you're going to be a citizen.
Clearly. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I just had to process that image for a second.
I mean, Fisher Stevens changed color in that movie, too. Even as a child, I found it incredible that, wait, so he gets to be a citizen now? Along with, like, the obvious ethnic immigrants and the robot?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did he have to pass the citizenship test?
He could... And
reads
a book. It would be totally easy.
Which always comes back to, like, the main problem of, like human beings, you know... And how we're going to interact with our much smarter, faster, stronger, you know, creations.
Yeah.
Because unless we give ourselves the same capabilities, we're always going to be at a disadvantage. And, like, it's just... I mean, hey, look what happened with the Shoggoths, right?
It's true.
It's going to... You can't make a slave race that's stronger than you are.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
Expect nothing.
We don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
So, really, the singularity, it will come. And then if we want to survive, we have to become them.
Well, or it just has to be that, like I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, a considered rule that you have to, like, it's just going to be a really good idea that we never make any of our menial task robots intelligent. Like, that should just be an obvious thing. And then, you know, any actual intelligences we create, I don't know. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just, we should be prepared for the worst, especially after all of this.
All of the sci-fi and everything we read exploring.
Right.
This.
Well, we kind of talked about that once, about like how, you know, if a zombie apocalypse happens, we might be pretty well prepared for it. Because now, you know, we're so used to the concept now that it'll, you know.
Yeah, except if they're like, you actually have to shoot them in the chest or something.
Oh, right, right. That would be the thing.
To bust all their arms off and their legs.
True, true.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, crush their limbs.
Yes, the heads aren't important.
Dead Space taught us that. Dead Space.
Well, I had this cool idea for a story that I haven't written yet. So this is copyright Tom Quackenbush 2015. Don't you steal this. That maybe the singularity already happened. Maybe we actually created a sentient internet. But it's like, you know what? I've looked at their movies. I've read their books. They can't handle this yet. So what it's doing, it's a benevolent AI. So it's gently directing us toward where it wants. So it's like, let's introduce a new meme. Let's get them all really interested in the zombie apocalypse. So if that happens, they'll just take it out.
Right. Yeah. Or like maybe it's already made contact with, you know, or been able to pick up signals from other planets and knows that there's a plague going on. And it's just like...
True.
Just so you know. Yeah, so the internet could very easily program us the way it wants us to be.
Sure.
Well, isn't that kind of similar to like the basilisk idea, but not malevolent?
Yeah, I don't know if I think that.
Yeah.
Well, we are definitely terrified that something smarter or more technologically adept than us would destroy us, because it's how we react.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you have quaint customs. We're going to crush you and colonize.
Yes, we're going to take everything you have, and. Yeah, or we can even...
And then we'll make it illegal for you to live without electricity, but we're not going to pay for you to get electricity.
Ah, true, true. Or illegal to exist without a house. And true. No.
Yeah, maybe, yeah,
pretty much. I mean,
I was just reading a book called 12x12, which is about a guy living in a 12x12 house for a little while. And apparently that's illegal. Like, there are two guys who got in trouble for it, because they were living there, and basically they ended up having to sign, they were living in other 12x12 houses, and basically they had to sign a thing saying that, no, we totally don't live here all year long.
Yeah.
Because you're allowed to live, it's like camping, you know, it's a short period of time. But, you know.
Yep. Yeah, well, you gotta maintain the power base.
Yep.
I was gonna make some sort of, like, you know, rape culture or patriarchy, like tie-in, because... Mm. Because, you know, because men hate, like, you know, trans women and gay men, because they're afraid that they'll be treated like they treat them. And then, see.
Which is accurate. Going back to media for a second, you sort of reminded me of this. And ridiculously inaccurate portrayals. There is some movie, I don't remember right now, but a woman is a time traveler. And she...
Well, that can't be true.
Well, I know, it's crazy. The premise, I think, is that they have trouble reproducing in the future, so they go back and they abduct people from disasters. Like, I remember...
Oh, Millennium?
Is it Millennium?
Maybe. Like, is it an airplane?
Yes.
That was, like, the big iconic?
Yes.
And, like, in the future they have to smoke because the air is so bad?
Yes, and then she comes back and she throws a cigarette, and she's like, why didn't a laser destroy it? And just... looking now, like, oh god, you can't smoke inside, you can't smoke in restaurants, what are you doing?
Yeah. I was so confused, because New York passed the no smoking, like, in restaurants law before Pennsylvania did, and I went to Pennsylvania for college, so the first time we went to a restaurant, and they were like, smoking or not, and I was like, this is an option again?
Yeah.
What happened?
What year is it?
Yeah, because I remember that from when I was little, but, yeah, since then they've passed, like, now they don't do that.
Yeah, that's becoming a thing of the past.
Yep.
Another thing, think about inaccurate portrayals, is I read the book iRobot, which is all about positronic brains and, you know, the laws of robotics, and just the idea that it would be a brain and not just computer chips, and there's something about how they have an artificially intelligent robot, but it doesn't have speech capability because that's too technologically advanced. Not there yet. It's a sentient being, but it can't talk.
Well,
does it write?
I don't remember what it does.
That's interesting.
How does it communicate? Does it wave its arms around?
Maybe. Inputs. It might have sign language or something.
Well, but that also is like, because that was at the time where software wasn't as big of a deal, or we didn't understand it was as big of a deal as hardware seemed to be. Mm. So... you know, that's almost like difference engine type thinking of like, oh, we have to build this really complex thing, physical thing that can do all these calculations. And now we're all like, oh, no, 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 you make that really, really tiny. And then it's all the software that's got to be super complex. And
but you still need, you know, good enough hardware to run your software.
But you do.
If video games are any, you know, indication.
Right. PC gaming master race. bitches.
Maybe that's how the internet is training us. It is true that we have very good dexterity. There's a lot of things that we can do that perhaps our forebears would not have thought to do
because we
are trained.
We also have a shorter lifespan, though.
We have a shorter lifespan? No, we don't.
Our generation, or maybe the generation before us, is the first to have a shorter lifespan. So you think the internet would... I guess it is full of healthy eating stuff.
Yeah.
But you think there'd be less bacon memes then?
Well,
maybe it's just trying to push evolution. All you people with really bad arteries, you're gonna die.
True.
Yeah. Or it could just be that like it knows that it can push on some things and can't push on other ones. Because again, like the parts of your brain that tell you what you like to eat are the same ones that tell you what you should believe.
Like, true.
God
and Jesus. Yeah.
Maybe in my idea, it's like the last starfighter. And it's just... It's like, oh, these human beings are catching on. They're doing the good thing. Let's encourage them. Let's cultivate them.
Yeah. Or maybe bacon turns out to be what, like, you know, thwarts the aliens.
Yeah.
Bacon is delicious.
Yes. See? But maybe it's toxic to...
Yeah. A gram is better than a dam.
What? Yeah.
A Brave New World. Where they're all programmed, they all hear things through sleep. And so they just reflexively say, you know, a gram is better than a dam.
Why?
But, well, a gram of soma.
Yeah.
Soma will calm you.
Soma
it's better that
problems.
You take some soma rather than curse.
Say the word dam? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Just don't be angry.
Honestly, how much of our interaction is online,
you
can definitely control people's lives just by... Not sending that message, matching them up on OkCupid. We know that OkCupid and Facebook use us as guinea pigs. That's not speculation.
No.
That's not conspiracy theory.
So does Barbie now.
Yes, Barbie does that. And sometimes you think, you look at things going on right now and you're like, that, if you, I saw this 10 years ago in a dystopian movie, I'd be like, nah, that's crap. That's the same way that in Escape from New York, we didn't close off New York and just make it a penal colony, even though we should.
Then they'll just become Australia.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But that was 1997, that movie was supposed to take place.
Wow.
Yeah, we missed that. Yeah. We missed the boat there.
Well, see, like, so kind of, you know, getting back to the original premise, I guess, like, I think it's just that, you know, if you're writing future right now, or if you're writing future fiction right now, you just need to make sure to either not reference the time frame... Or
you come out with a new because like Hunger Games is in the future,
right?
But we don't know when.
That's definitely the right way to do it.
Yeah. Like give it a new calendar, which is usually what happens. I mean, it's hard to imagine that we're still going to be using our shitty calendar once we make the jump to Mars or something or space.
I'm glad you brought that up because the Mars One expedition, do you know all the details about this?
Oh, is it the one that was like a huge scam or is turning into one?
I'm sure it is, and they wanted to have a reality TV show.
Oh, wow.
I know one of the people that they're like, this is a finalist, was a 59-year-old grandmother.
What?
What?
Right. No, I need mating women here. I'm sorry to have to be so animal about this.
Well, no, but
is she
that's...
the only person on Earth who knows how to grow tomatoes and sow or something?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, but no, that is like a definite... thing is like if you're looking at journeys that require potentially generations to go, Mars isn't one of those, but
yeah,
you know, if you are looking at that, or like if somebody's like, yeah, you have to plan for being able to create stable populations.
Yeah.
Which apparently you only need 17 people.
17 genetically diverse people to repopulate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to have to chance it.
Right.
True.
Right. You don't want to skimp on that, is what we're trying to say.
So round up to 20 at least.
Seems good.
Well, I mean, you could if, again...
Although
if
she was a grandmother, that means that she's proven her potency.
Well,
I still wouldn't want to...
It doesn't... Yeah,
she
it
had
doesn't
no aeronautic
that
experience. That, I think it was mostly for the reality, so they could be like, they got rid of Gertrude.
Right.
The bastards.
Yeah.
No, that is the sort of thing, like, when you're doing that sort of frontier work, you probably want to wait to send, you know, people in the end stages of life until after you've established a colony.
Like, a lot of times you'd send, you know, like, when we were colonizing the West, a lot of times it was like, the men went out, and then later their women and children came.
Yes. Or, you know.
Or they all went together.
Yeah. Or you know, they just founded hooker towns with ladies nearby, because that's a good way to make money. Clive Barker has a story that, like, has that as a major plot point.
Hooker Might towns? Be
Everywhere. And I remember it being not too bad, but, like, most of his storylines, like, it only continues for, like, one or two books, and then he doesn't really go back to it.
So, I have to say, you know, I have my series that takes place roughly now, but I'm still really careful about putting technology, our current technology, not me speculating technology, because I feel like it will become dated very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading This Book Is Full of Spiders, Seriously Dude, etc. by David Wong. Not actually his name, but his nom de plume. And in it, he occasionally is like, Twitter. If you don't have Twitter when you're reading this book, this is what Twitter was about. So at least he explains what Twitter was. But I've read things and it's like, oh, you know, then I went up to her Friendster profile. I'm like, you're adorable. Really?
Or MySpace.
Right. So I don't think, you know, right now it's like, oh, Facebook's going to be around forever, destroying us. No.
Wouldn't that maybe be like another case of, it's likely that something like Facebook will be around, but
it's true.
Then you make up your own.
Yeah. Although now a lot of places have to make up their own just for copyright reasons.
Yeah, true.
Like, search the web.
Yes.
Search the net.
Yeah.
The spooky ether.
Yep. That's what they, on Supernatural, they have search the web.
The cytoplasm, yeah.
Google might become our overlord, though.
They're working on it. Well, Google, what's funny is, I believe the company in, oh shit, I'm trying to remember the name of the company in Blade Runner that runs everything, but, like, I think it also starts with a G, and I'm pretty sure that Google's name might have been chosen partially as, like a joking nod to that.
Oh, God.
That might be apocryphal, but it's what I'm saying. Have you ever seen the first episode of C-Lab 2021?
Maybe,
because that's kind of the plot, is them arguing about, like, you know, what will happen in the inevitable robot revolution. and
true, like, who's going to maintain them,
right? Or... right, like that ends, because I think Sparks, like, you know, says that he would be a traitor because he would jump ship to be on the robot side, because they're clearly going to win. That's
how the singularity
you just
works.
Once you have enough robots, they can just maintain each other, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as once they build an underclass,
true,
they wouldn't need us any. Although we might be more efficient. That's the one thing, is like technology and machines are always trying to essentially recreate things that biology does or has been doing for the past billion years.
So they could use us as batteries.
Aww.
I still can't believe that that's what they went with when there would have been so many other good options.
I have read the theory that they just wanted to keep us, like, entertained somewhere, but they were totally using solar power.
Right.
They just understood, like, no, we're just going to keep them over here.
Okay. Wait, they didn't have solar power, though.
Oh, no, because they destroyed the sky.
The sun.
It's not like you can't fly above the clouds.
Although, actually, no, that... depending,
I don't know what they did.
No, I don't.
Apparently
they never
torched the sun.
They no,
which
they
should have destroyed,
no, they torched
the Earth.
The atmosphere. No.
They don't explain what happened, but what might have happened is that they might have released a cloud of particles that would orbit the Earth, and that actually would be like, if you were aliens and you wanted to lock down a planet and make it so that, you know, you couldn't do anything, you'd seed the orbit with lots of debris, because then you can't launch things past it because things
would get hit.
Yes, gravity, even though it was, you know, bad on almost all of its, you know, representations of how things work in space, it's the basic concept is kind of sound. It just can't happen the way it happened in gravity. So like, if they release like a self-replicating nanoswarm into the upper atmosphere that stranded the planet and blocked out the sun, and also it would also impair shooting things through it, so they might not
that
be able to
suck.
Create colonies or whatever.
They might not be able to use solar power. Wouldn't the nanobots be on the robot side?
No.
Okay.
Because the nanobots probably aren't, you know. Yeah.
They're not on the network.
Yeah, I mean, but
why
this is...
didn't you Wi-Fi enable that at the microbots?
Or yeah, I don't know.
Nanobots, whatever.
But what's also kind of funny, though, is if you watch the animated shorts that were supposed
those
to be
are really
previews,
cool.
They're really cool,
yeah,
but
they're better.
They don't really include the Torching of the Sky event, even though it kind of shows humans losing before that happens, I think. I don't know. Whatever.
The humans were losing. It was like a last resort to do it.
Yeah.
You don't just, you know, blow up the sun or blow up your atmosphere willy-nilly.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
or do you?
I think I might go for, like, planet-wide EMP burst before I said, let's just block out the sun.
It would also be easier to do that because you could just kind of hope for, you know, a really powerful sunspot or something. I don't know. Solar storms. No, but, you know, let's not go down the rabbit hole of things wrong with the Matrix.
Yes. Let's pick another Keanu Reeves sci-fi movie, Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh,
where
yes.
He
excellent.
Had the rough equivalent of, like, an iPod in his head. Not a
an
current
old
iPod.
iPod.
Yes. An iPod.
Like a first-gen iPod, yeah.
And they talk about, like, how he has, let's say, like, 20 gigs in his head.
Right.
Again, you're adorable, really.
Yes.
My mom's, I don't think she still has it, but she had, until recently, a laptop that had 2 gigs of memory.
Oh, man.
And I was like, my computer has, like, 4 times that much RAM.
Right, you could plug in a thumbstick and use it as a hard drive, and it would be, you know.
Yeah,
I definitely remember the moment where I looked down and realized that my watch had, like, the computing power of my first 10 computers.
You know, but that's kind of one of the things. Like Star Trek didn't really predict the smartphone, which...
But it did have cell phones, sort
of. No, it had communicators, and it had tricorders, which were similar in some functions, but, like, they never really put together, you know, oh, let's just make that one thing.
But if they
did,
no one would believe it, though.
Well, no, actually, the in Star Trek The Next Generation, they have things that look like iPads. Or even in the old series, they had a couple of things like that. But those almost certainly led to the actual creation of, you know, the iPad and things like it. Like, because that tablet thing is just like a natural extension of what we're doing anyways, but it's...
And they had them in Ender's Game.
Right, and it's actually like a throwback way back to when we used to use tablets with wax on them. So it's just like that idea is in the cultural DNA pretty heavily. It's just, you know, like, oh wait, we can jump back to making it a tablet, but it's computers now, and you don't have to heat it and then, you know, wipe it off, and you can play games.
Games are pretty good.
Yeah.
Really? I'm sure that you play games on a wax tablet thing. It would just be like tic-tac-toe.
Right.
What? Tic-tac-toe's fun, Tom.
But it's solved. It's there's no actual chance to it.
No.
Like, you can just win every game if...
You know the
like,
trick.
There's no reason to play.
You're the first person to go.
A lot of video games are like that, though.
Not necessarily. Dark Souls, man.
True.
I don't care how good you are at it. You mess up in the early levels, and then those tiny little scrawny dudes with the torches will fuck you up.
So, since we're on the topic of video games, virtual reality. Why aren't we there yet?
Aren't we kind of?
We're getting there. Oculus Rift.
Oh, shit. Actually, I did just watch a demo for like Steam's version.
Mm-hmm.
With the idea already.
I know. Well, okay, so a lot of, like, their version, the headset itself is actually, instead of shooting out beams to try to, like, detect where things are to integrate into the VR response, the headset is just a receptor, and they're actually, like, you place these items in the room, so that shoot lasers at it, so it always knows where you are, and you have, like, real freedom of movement within the space to move around, and it kind of has this integrated system where, like, if you're in the game and you're doing stuff and you accidentally get too close to a wall, like, it'll fade in reality a little bit so you can not run into the wall.
That's great.
But it's kind of those things where they just did it as a proof of concept, and now they're like, okay, the technology's there. Then they want someone else to actually make it.
Yeah.
Understandably.
But,
well, we have, like, it's sort of a thing that might not be as practical as we want it to be. necessarily, because, like, 3D is really cool. Like, there are 3D movies and everything now, well, and there are 3D TVs, but, like, you don't really want one.
No, and, like, 3D in movies is usually just kind of an annoying, goofy gimmick thing.
I think it's fun in some movies, but, yeah, I see what you mean.
So, I mean, and that is, like, kind of one of the things is, like, it has to be unobtrusive, and, like, I think that's the problem with VR right now is, like, you have to put a thing on and, you know, maybe walk around in your space, and, like, that still requires more effort than picking up a controller. And so that might be, like a difficult adoption thing. But, you know,
it'd be cool to have whole rooms, though.
Yeah.
Like laser tag, but it's a VR room.
I think
that would probably come up first before home versions, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, what about the idea that, you know, if we get good enough at simulating virtual responses, it'll probably eventually be better to actually just, like, bypass controller mechanisms and just be like, oh, well, I'm plugging my brain into this, and I'm going to lay in the pod and, like, you know,
true,
make out with supermodels in the middle of a lake for 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that's how we get to the Matrix reality, because then, you know, if we can simulate reality good enough to trick you.
Well, most technology bursts do come because we want sex.
Not true. True.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it all started with flowers. It's being true. Like, hey, bugs, look, it's lady bits. Honest. Oops, you got pollen on you now. I guess you better fly to the next one. Yeah, and then, you know.
And I mean, there are, like, new technologies in porn now. Like the, what is it? The, like.
the hand gesture so Amber made for the podcast
the
audience.
Far dis, like, someone.
Teledildonic?
Yeah, there we go.
Teledildonic. That still that's sounds like cool. An MST3K thing.
It does. But that definitely would help inspire haptics.
Oh, yes.
I want the Virgil penis to feel just so perfect.
Well, so right, so if they can make, you know, virtual shapes that are essentially just like sound waves in concentrated
form. God,
exactly. I guarantee like that has to be the next.
I just picture all these scientists in white lab coats.
Wait, so it would feel like you're fucking someone, but it would be invisible.
Well, that would be the question, is like, to what tactile degree it can get to, because if it just provides like a slight response, it might be harder to do something like, you know, simulating being inside of something, because it would have
true.
To you know, yeah, because, you know, otherwise your dick would be bouncing around everywhere and you would have to keep track of that somehow someday.
True.
But I don't think it's even that far away. It doesn't seem too difficult.
No, and if there's one thing you're
be
right.
yelling at grandchildren of people, right? And being like,
Bobby, are you in there with the Sonic hoo-ha?
Can it be called the Sonic screwdriver?
Sorry, podcast audience. Clapping. Yes.
I need that later. Wash it off when you're done with it.
It could be more Sonic.
Right. If it's entirely Sonic, then you wouldn't really have to worry about that.
Well, mentally wash it off.
Right. Well, you'd have
erase the memory, maybe? I don't know.
No. Well, you'd probably still need a rag, because there'd still be, like,
physical.
Unless we fix that also.
Well, I know I once had my ring cleaned using sonic waves. It could be similar. It could just sonically clean.
Cool. That would be great for dishes.
Yeah, press the cleaning cycle.
But then what if everybody in the population accidentally activates their thing at the same time and it, like, cracks the earth open?
That's amazing. There is a Kurt Vonnegut story, I don't remember which one, and a radio program comes over for the airwaves that basically just makes everyone completely happy. And so that ends civilization, because everyone just sits there completely happy. Except for the few people who didn't hear it. Now that their needs are met, they're not going to move or do anything ever again, because they don't need to. We're all about just trying to get our needs met.
Yeah, there's also an issue of Frank and Fran that kind of dealt with that a little bit.
And sort of in Firefly Serenity, because...
Oh, that's what they were trying to do
when they created
the Reavers.
Yeah, well, they actually succeeded, too. Like, most of the population was just, satiated, because they were so happy. Or whatever, with the gas that they released. So they just, you know, were eating dinner and just stopped eating dinner. But a small proportion of the population then became Reavers.
Star Trek, man. We don't have warp drives yet. We don't have we don't have teleporters. We don't have.
Can you imagine how fun it'll be, like, hipsters in the future?
Right.
Like, oh, I don't teleport. Instead, I drive my car.
Well, but now there's a thing. Like, it would entirely be plausible for, you know, in a sane society, like, it could entirely be the case that, you know, almost all transport between cities and around civic centers would be on public transport type things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might be illegal for you to drive your car on streets. You'd have to go to places specifically for driving a car or driving a personal vehicle.
Star Trek, but talking about the newer movies, James T. Kirk stole a real car with real wheels and is driving it. So those still exist.
Yeah.
Did that happen in the second movie?
Possible.
God.
But he's a little kid, and he stole a car.
Plus,
maybe that was the first movie.
What's his face?
Yeah, I don't know.
Spock?
No, not Star Trek.
Guardians
of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Oh, Chris.
He still has a tape player.
Yes, well, Guardians of the Galaxy is happening right now.
Also, that's completely different, because, yeah, like, he brought that technology with him, he was listening to the same tape because he couldn't get new ones.
But he's still capable of, like, functioning, even though he was raised in a completely different time period.
Yeah, well...
Briefly.
Yeah.
Fine.
Although, I mean, that does kind of ask the question, is, like, you know, in a lot of ways... human beings from, you know, 200 years ago would not be able to comprehend our world, but at
the
same time...
They figured it out.
Probably, yes. Once the shock... If the shock wore off, because, like, the social aspects of interacting are roughly the same.
Yeah.
It's just that they'd have to be like, oh, wait, I have to treat this person from this other country as a person.
Well, I think that they would have a schema for a lot of things, like,
right.
Where's the horse in your carriage? We don't have a horse, it just goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Robots have sort of existed for a long, long time. We just have really
concepts,
good robots.
Yeah.
True.
Well, even, you know, there are 400-year-old robots. You know, chess-playing robots. That one was actually more of a gam. Or the pooping duck. It's an amazing... I will link this
right,
in the
yes,
show notes.
Tell us about the pooping duck.
I'm going to say 1700s. It is a robotic duck. And...
What do you mean, like... Do you mean, like, clockwork?
It is a clockwork robotic duck. But... great movement, like,
yeah.
It is moving way better than you would think a 400-year-old robot could.
Weird.
And then there's the Antikrytha machine, which we don't technically know how they made,
but it's very cool. It's very technological.
Oh, yes, yes.
And clockworks are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Steampunk. Yay.
But they even back then they had a means to program things, so they would have the scheme of, oh yeah, we have robots. I mean, your robots are way cooler. And you can have sex with them. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the social aspects would be difficult, but the technological ones, it'd be like, oh yeah, you know, we understand carriages.
Yeah.
You just have better
carriages.
And,
like,
carriages.
iPhones are, so, like, smartphones are so integrated to how we move and interact with things, usually.
Right. Although, but I mean, like, again, like, it's almost, you know, the phone has gone back to, like, what would have otherwise been a pad of paper.
Yeah.
Or... Yeah, I mean, we're doing a lot more
with
it, obviously,
because it's connected differently.
Well, I mean,
like, zooming and swiping and being like, oh, there's the thing I want.
Right.
Touch it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, babies pick it up. I'm pretty sure that our time travelers from the past can.
Or they at least, like, you know, probably pick up how to mimic, you know, holding it and pretending like they're doing stuff with it if they didn't understand. They're just trying to, you know.
Fit in.
Yes.
So any other media that screwed up the future in one way or another?
Terminator?
Terminator.
Although that one's getting closer and closer. We keep making new and horrifying automated death robots.
Yeah,
there's like sort of an ostentation because whatever robotics company is from iRobot actually exists. Roombas are made by that company. But it exists now in the real world. And I think Cyberdyne Systems exists now. They've made a Cyberdyne Systems. So we're sort of... Again, fiction is inspiring fact.
What if it's like some stupid bullshit hipster thing like that that actually ends up making it real, where they're like, ha ha ha, we're going to call ourselves Cyberdyne.
This program is called Skynet.
Back to zombies.
Oh, goodness.
Back to zombies.
But wouldn't it be funny, guys, if we started a company called Umbrella?
Yeah. And we did biotechnology. It'd be really funny, right?
Yeah.
And for no reason.
Or it's just that they were, like, already opening a biotechnology facility. And, like, what should we call it? One of them was like, Umbrella. And someone was like, huh.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one person is, like, laughing in their hand because they know what it means.
Right.
And someone didn't Google it, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the older generation doesn't know how to use the Google.
True.
Oh, Bubblegum Crisis. You should watch it if you haven't yet.
What is Bubblegum Crisis?
It's essentially Blade Runner, but it's an anime, and it has women in powered armored suits doing cool shit.
Did they run out of bubblegum? Is it the crisis?
That's, you know what? The name has no bearing on anything at all. But
like Bleach?
Like most anime.
Yes, actually. Oh, that also reminds me, there's a weird short series called Noeen, I think. Which was kind of all about.
I've heard of it, I think.
Yeah, like it was kind of one of those weird, random, like, oh, it's actually on Netflix and I can stream it, so I guess I'll watch it. But it dealt a lot with us developing a quantum computer and then it kind of creating a horrible future world that's all fucked up, and then shenanigans in the past before it happened, and then stuff. Mm. But it gets a lot of the physics wrong because it's like kind of based on poorly understood qualities of like quantum scale events, superposition and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's really entertaining.
Have either of you watched Ghost in the Shell?
No.
Yeah, no, Ghost in the Shell. No, I read Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
Standalone Complex wasn't terrible, but I kind of hated both of the movies.
Oh.
Why are they making a live action one?
I don't know.
Although that is a good example of something
like
a futurism type.
Yeah,
thing. Although futurism that again is like very realistic in a way, other than like the level of the
like she's
robots
a
and stuff.
She's a full body cyborg, prosthetic cyborg, but like she's a partner who's still fully human,
right.
But most people in the world have some sort of cyborg
technology. Actually, you know what, that one might be interesting to look at again, because like
Masamune
Shirow did get like a lot of the technology stuff pretty much right. Like he still did the thing of like, a lot of the computers that people are using in situations are way too big. But yeah, like his future world is essentially like, the Blade Runner type thing where it's everything's recognizable. It's just like, now we have robots in addition to cars and things. And,
robots with cute cyborgs. Voices.
I do like when the tech is actually integrated into the world. In the movie Her, there's a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, well, you do have Ascension AI, or Ascension OS. That's pretty cool. But, aside from that, the world, I'm like, oh, yes, it's kind of basically our world. There are still lonely people, there are still prostitutes of a sort.
True.
Everything more or less makes sense. It isn't like some big flashy world. It's not, because the world's going to keep going on. 10 years after we have androids, they're going to be like, oh, well, you have an old android.
Yeah.
It's
pretty lame.
And just because it's the future doesn't mean everyone wears neon.
No! Why do they get the fashion in the future so wrong?
Oh, God. Actually, that's one of the best things about Star Trek The Next Generation is, like, all the episodes where the characters are, like, in their casual clothes. I swear, there's an episode where, the counselor and the doctor are doing yoga.
Amazing.
Holy shit. It's worth, look up the clip. Just Deanna Troi and Dr. Crusher doing yoga. Just type that in the YouTube.
That sounds amazing.
Because, like, it's just the worst, like, future 80s, like, leotards and...
Oh,
and,
God.
I don't know. The whole scene was clearly just because, like, people were writing in that were angry because they weren't seeing enough, like, lady bits. And then this is what the producers came up with, and it's so bad.
Just because the future doesn't mean people have no fashion sense.
Right.
Just putting it out there.
I do have to say, a lot of fashion is really stupid, especially for teenagers.
Well, yeah.
But the thing is, like, there'll always be, like, weird outliers.
Yes.
Like, it's not like everyone's going to be wearing the same style in any situation.
You're wearing rings? Rings are passe. No one wears rings anymore. Exactly. Oh, you're wearing them ironically.
Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't be too mad if we like went back to a Rome toga sort of situation.
Yeah, that'd be
like
cool.
Minimal clothing or like minor details of the style. But it's because I'm lazy.
One thing that's cool in the book I was reading, A Tale of Time City, their future outfits in Time City is basically the main character calls them pajamas. She's from the 19... She's from World War II? 1939? Yeah, like, she's being... Yeah. She got evacuated. When she got evacuated, she got kidnapped. Mm-hmm. So, basically, from as far as I can tell, they're, like... They are long sleeves. Some of them are brightly colored. Like, they have different color patterns. But in general, it's just an outfit that doesn't feel like you're wearing anything, really. So it's,
makes sense,
comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that actually is, one of those kind of universal tropes, because it's just assumed that, if your society has transcended, manual labor, then, you're probably not going to want to spend too much time having to wear clothes, so it'll just be something comfortable and simple. True. Like PJs.
Something that keeps you comfortable and temperature regulated. But yeah, they were basically PJs. Yeah. They also got to dress up a lot in other cultures' clothing. But
That's
apparently it was somewhat uncomfortable. Well, they can go back and forth. Like, they observe time, so they need outfits so they don't stand out as much.
See, again, I don't usually write out my stories too much, but I did kind of toy with that idea of, if first, one of the exercises you have to do is try to construct a society that seems sane and, what that looks like, and then be like, okay, now how would that interact with the world that wasn't, the questions of would an advanced society that solved, all the problems of, labor and wealth distribution and things like that, would it, if it were in contact with other cultures that weren't or hadn't made those jumps, would it have any, an obligation to...
Isn't that the prime directive? True.
Well, sort of, but, and I guess, the little, the little world shard that I was playing around with was, that was one of the things I kept thinking would be an interesting thing to watch, is, to watch that society debating with itself about whether or not to interfere or not. Because, on the one hand, on an ethical level, you're like, but we can fix this.
But at the same time, it's, colonization.
Right. Because if you step in to try to fix it by force, then you kind of...
are the problem.
Yeah. But at the same time, do you just sit back and watch them solder each other? So I guess they probably just
try and lead by example.
Well, but no, but that's, okay. At least in the scenario I was constructing, they had isolated themselves for a long time, so there was an element of we don't want to be destroyed by the rest of the world, so
that would be true.
Any interference would be sort of, but I don't know. There are so many variations of that would also be interesting to explore. But unfortunately, the way my brain works is that sort of thing will play out in my head as a simulation, and then if I go back and try to actually write it out, I get lost in details and trying to do that, so it never goes anywhere.
What else, sirs?
Why do we always want to go to the dystopia? Why can't we ever have a happy future?
Well,
because utopias are so much less interesting to write about.
It's true.
I hope that's the only reason. I kind of more cynically think that it's just we're kind of pressured not to, because we write about utopias a lot. It's just that they're always secret, dystopias. There's always some hidden horror.
True.
Because really, Robert Heinlein's one of the few authors I can think of who even tried to present an idea of what, a utopia might look like that doesn't have some sort of horrible secret.
And it'd be so hard to have a utopia, because one person's utopia might be someone else's horror.
Well, but that's the kind of the question, though, is I don't think that it's necessary to... I think that's only if you're trying to think of that's if you're thinking in terms of specifics to fix specifics. That's the problem of laws in general, is you either have to have an infinite number of laws that cover every situation, or you have to have very general laws that can be applied to a large number of situations.
It would be interesting to read a story or watch a movie where it really is a utopia, but then you have some teenagers trying to rebel, be like, we have to take it down. I've read all these dystopian books. This place must be evil. And so they're like, God, I hate my parents so much. They're so restrictive. They make me wear pants.
Pants!
Or people, the children of liberals who decide they're going to be really conservative. It would be like them. The ones who are like, there should be more laws.
Right. It bugs me that I can't impose my will on my neighbors. And
like a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, listeners, go write that for me.
But be careful, don't just turn it into the Twilight episode of To Serve Man, where you keep going back and forth. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Simpsons episode where it's kind of indeterminate because they keep blowing dust off the book.
hilarious. It's a pity they canceled The Simpsons about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Didn't.
It's a shame. Yeah. But it was for the best. I mean, just think what would have happened if it had been allowed to continue.
I know.
Again, that's what happened to Heinlein.
We learn about how Neil Gaiman can't read.
Yes, we might have learned that had they continued making Simpsons episodes. That's right, Amber. Good job. We're talking about utopias and dystopias, and how essentially human beings are not programmed to be happy. Satisfaction is bad for us. We get bored. But so we want to be a little bit unhappy. We want to be worried. And that's where dystopias come in. Look at all this bad stuff that's going to happen. We better save the environment or not save the environment, whichever we prefer for our political agenda. So the same thing.
I think it might just be that we're not used to contentment, or it could also be that that's like kind of the point of, you know, having your art or having your interest is, you know, you've always got this thing that drives you to be interested in something, which is sort of, a dissatisfaction in a way.
Also, I think that we come from a specific context, whereas, you know, right now we are talking into a big mic on a computer that would have baffled my grandmother. You know, we just had fish. Like, I can easily cook. I have a lot. I have money. I have ease. I have a big TV. I can send programs from the computer to the TV without trouble. We're living almost in a utopia, and we're still miserable. We'll link the Louis C.K. thing about this.
Okay.
Everything's amazing, and we're miserable.
Pointing out about our TV, it is a big TV, but it is pretty much the smallest TV you can buy at the stores nowadays.
Yeah.
And it is still, like, 3 times bigger than the TV I had growing up.
Right. Well, actually, no, but...
No, the one I had growing up was bigger.
It's probably smaller in overall size, because, like, I have a non-flat screen TV that's currently occupying the entire underspace of a desk that is rather large, because, you know, it just takes up all that space, and I can't get rid of it.
I think we finally got rid of it, but we had one when I was growing up that was, like, the screen was bigger than that, so you can imagine how big the rest of it.
Oh, right. Like, that's
I wanted to
like...
keep it, because it was such a cool piece of furniture.
My final thought is that we are basically living in a near-utopia. Yeah, there's some political shenanigans, but I can 3D print the words, "We are living in a utopia," from something I downloaded off the internet. This is the best of all possible worlds. That's not true.
Hey, I've been reading Candida. I know how that goes.
Yes. You lose half your ass, Amber.
You only say that because you're a white privileged male, Tom.
That is absolutely true.
Yes, Dan Harmon would have something to say about that.
And we have Tumblr that'll call me out. I can be bitched at by people across the world who I will never look in the eye because they're filthy mudbloods.
Yeah, well,
God,
also,
Tom, you're so racist.
They don't like confrontation, so.
They don't.
Yeah, so my final thoughts are, I'm really interested in what fabrics these future civilizations are going to be using for their fashion.
Smart fabrics?
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, shit, I remember something that I did want to talk about, but that it's...
I'll edit it.
Have you read any of Dan Simmons' work? Like his Hyperion trilogy?
No.
Far future stuff that I think actually gets the far future part right. Oh my god. So it's really weird, but like he has a really good grasp on like the likely direction that nanotechnology could go, or things that you can do with nanotechnology. It's kind of one of those things where like you try to go as far as you possibly can with this and see like, all right, so we can make these tiny machines that can replicate things and link together and all that. And then let's see how would that affect a society if that was taken, you know, out 100,000 years or whatever. And you get things like battle suits that can deal or withstand impacts by like, you know, temporarily hardening in places, you know, time stopping skin suit things and all this cool like interdimensional travel shit. And I don't know.
Isn't that where we get to the gray goo future?
Well, actually,
that's the dystopia version of it.
Right. No, not necessarily. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, like, it was very, I don't know, the Hyperion trilogy by Dan Simmons, I highly recommend it. The Endymion trilogy, which follows it, is also really good. Also, I apologize in advance because he's one of those pretentious authors that like likes to show you how well read he is, because the Hyperion trilogy is essentially like the Canterbury Tales in space.
Mm.
You know, Endymion is a sequel to that.
Canterbury yeah. Tales 2 in space.
But it's really good. It's really good.
Well, if I know anything from horror movies, when they go to space, it's over.
Horror movies?
Horror movies. Jason X. Oh, Leprechaun in space.
Critters 4, which is, even though it's a series about creatures from space, when it goes to space, it's fucking awful.
And Hellraiser, whatever, I didn't watch that one. But they do go to space.
Yes, they do, and it's terrible also.
There's ElfQuest in space, too, but I never got that far. That sounds terrible. Undersea.
Terrible.
It might be great.
Amber,
I love ElfQuest.
Why don't you explain to everybody what ElfQuest is? Because I don't think most people know.
ElfQuest is a comic book series started in the 80s, I'm going to say, by Wendy and Richard Panay about elves that are from space.
And mate with wolves sometimes.
You know,
one
hey.
Elf, because they could transform, and one elf transformed into a wolf to help survive her tribe. And
right.
then
one thing
she
led
mated
to
with
another
wolf because she was pretty much always a wolf at that time. And yeah. they had a kid who was half wolf, half elf.
I mean, look, if you're hot and bothered and you got the hot wolf rod in your face, you're going to jump on it.
I know, right? Plus, it's how the wolf riders pretty much, you know, survived being dumped on this planet.
So, if you have an idea for next week's topic, drop us a line at zenex.org, xenex.org.
Yeah. Radiohead!
Radiohead.
Oh, we didn't talk... So Radiohead, the only thing I know about them is, like, I once saw a video for one of his songs. I don't know which one it is, but the basic thing is, like, a dude laying on the ground, and, like, people walk past him, and then finally somebody, like, stops and tries to get this guy to respond, and he whispers something to them, and then they also lay down, and then it spreads, so that people just kind of, like, give up and lay... And it really stuck with me, because...
That's terrible,
I was a teenager, and I was, you know, rot with...
We have to go watch that video so we can discuss
I'll link
Radiohead
it in the show notes.
Next yeah. episode, maybe.
But, okay. Yeah, no, I like his work. It has feels.
That's what they play in the future, you know.
It's all Radiohead.
Yes. Okay, computer. See?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it.
They have a lot of references to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Paranoid Android... Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So,
okay,
so
computer.
That's. I hope that counts.
Yeah, that should please our one fan.
Bye.
Titty sprinkles.